Hello and welcome to Two-Legged Tie, the podcast that gives you all the details on Derby City Rovers and whatever we fancy talking about beyond. It's composed of a home leg and an away leg. The home leg, we talk about Derby City Rovers and what's mattering at the PDL level here in Louisville. And the away leg, well, we have a little bit of fun. I'm one of your two hosts, Martin French.
And I'm Eric Major. And you forgot the other important thing, which is all the news about the boarding crew.
Well, I consider that a part of the DCR stuff. You're quite right.
Fair enough.
Boarding crew, DCR, and anything else that's focused on supporting that team here. So, today we've got two legs. What's going to be going on in the home leg, Eric?
First leg, we're going to be discussing the boarding crew launch. We are officially looking at launching soon, as Derby City Rovers have their first official home match coming up in just over a month. I think it's a month and a day, in fact, from today.
God, yeah, it is, isn't it?
Crazy how time
flies. Literally the 22nd of May. That is mental. That's wild. Feels like only last year we were standing out in Worley Field.
It does feel like only last year we were standing at Worley Field.
Yeah, only last year. And in the away leg, we're going to be talking about the US Open Cup, or as I like to consider it, the qualifying competition for the FIFA World Club Championships. There may be some other secondary and tertiary rounds to get there, but it's a qualifying round.
It's a qualifying round to make it to the quarterfinals of the Club World Championship.
Kind of, yeah. Or the first, the preliminary qualifying
there
round.
There you go.
Enough of such guff. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, let's hear about the boarding crew launch.
So the boarding crew are looking to make the first of what is officially a soft launch, as we're looking to have an event set up with Nathan and the Rovers to do an official launch for both this year's team, this year's kit, and the boarding crew as a whole. However, we're going to have a little bit of fun. The first leg of the CONCACAF Champions League is Wednesday night, and we have gotten lucky enough to have a venue with which to do a watching party.
Now, the Wednesday night, there are two Wednesday nights for that CONCACAF Champions League final. Now, the first one may be actually, you might be hearing this after that. However,
if you didn't make it, if you hear this after that, if you didn't make it, we're sorry we missed you. We hope you come to the second leg. The first leg is at the Ville Taqueria down on Westport Road behind Smoothie King on Shelbyville. Wonderful little place. Wonderful homely family Mexican restaurant. We thought what better to fit our motif than to go with a home place. And since the first leg of the Champions League final is in Mexico, let's have Mexican food. Mm-hmm. Simple logic.
The good news is we're not going to force you to eat Quebecois food for the second leg. However, unfortunately, right now, we are still in negotiations about where we're going to have that second leg. I'm going to use a word that some of you might think is a dirty word, and I hope a lot of you think is a great word. Indiana.
Oh, I thought you were going to say poutine.
Poutine is always a dirty word if you do it right.
Especially on Wednesdays.
Yeah, generally, actually. Unfortunately, I know the poutine princess of Louisville, who's a dear friend of mine, maintains there may not be many places where that are suitable to watch football while eating poutine in this town, but we continue to search. But, again,
we will find a way.
And failing that, or maybe including that, just think of Indiana.
Yes, because we do want to get those of you who are on the other side of the river from where we are based involved. We want to try to bring as many people to this party as we can.
Yeah, and as the Derby City Rovers play in Worley Fields, just out by the Charlestown Pike, beyond Jeffersonville, I think it's about time we had a pub over there that we could call our own.
I do think so. We do need to set up a base of operations, don't we?
Yes, we certainly do, and or a number of bases. So if you're a wealthy and moneyed pub or bar owner, to be honest, anywhere. I mean, if you tell me that you actually live in, I don't know, New Orleans.
I was going to say, not Timbuktu.
I'm all in favor of going to Timbuktu. Oh. The seat of a once great empire. Timbuktu is definitely on the cards. However,
that might be difficult to get the owner of a pub from Timbuktu to sponsor us.
It could be difficult. I mean,
The magic of the internet.
They tend to be more fans of the NPSL than the USL PDL, so we might have difficulties there.
Should we talk to our Nigerian prince?
I've been emailing him for the last 6 years. He's definitely going to get me that money sometime soon. I just have to fill out a few more forms and give him a few more numbers.
We do need a bit of seed money, don't we?
if this works out with the Nigerian prince, I am looking at $17 million worth of seed money.
That's fantastic. I hope you get it.
Fingers crossed. Any day now. Any day now.
Any day.
So we are looking to launch the boarding crew formally, and I hope that a lot of you guys can make it there. But that's not all. We've got quite a bit of news about boarding crew and Derby City Rovers today.
We've got quite a bit to look forward to, in fact, yes. One of the things that we are looking at getting launched with regard to the match that you may miss or may hear after the match is there's going to be a Derby City Rovers boarding crew season ticket package that we don't know the full details of yet, but will be revealed to us, and we will promptly share all of that information with you as soon as we have it.
A season ticket package, you say? Would this be a season ticket package that may even be cheaper than the currently already great value season ticket package that they offer?
I would assume so. I know he wants to get us out there, and he wants us to be loud and raucous and create the kind of environment that we tried to do last year.
That's fantastic. That's really great. I mean, we've been very lucky with Nathan being such a good and time-offering owner. So to have him giving us this opportunity, that's great.
And to support us the way he's been. We can't impress enough on how deeply in gratitude we are.
Yeah, almost certainly so. So, all you happy and lucky boarding crew members out there.
You talk to your Nigerian princes. You wait till we get the details and have him fund your season tickets.
Yes, but by the sounds of things, you won't need your Nigerian prince money to come through, because I have a feeling this is going to be quite a nice little deal.
That's true. It's not Arsenal season tickets.
Closer to Bayern Munich season tickets.
Indeed.
Except, I'm guessing, a little bit cheaper again. That's fantastic. Do we know anything more about what's coming up?
In keeping with this theme, Nathan and I, via the wonderful correspondence that is the electronic mail, were discussing this launch event at the Vil Taqueria and talking about what he wanted to do with regard to it. And he's got some posters, he's got some pocket schedules, and he wants to bring those in to be able to give out to help bring more people in.
That's great. That is fantastic. Because, I mean, the game itself is going to be reason enough to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited for the game personally.
And again, if you've missed the first leg, unless it's like an 82-0 drubbing, CONCACAF is crazy, especially CONCACAF Champions League. You can win the first leg 3-0 and lose the second leg 6-0. That happened in the semi-final. So whatever happens in the first leg, trust me, there is still life in the game.
I'm still thinking Montreal is going to steal 2 in the Azteca.
If they steal 2 in Azteca, oh, wow, that's going to be an amazing second leg.
Given their woes at home in the CONCACAF Champions League and their amazing form away, I'm putting them on it.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed. So that's great news. We have the season in less than a month away. That should nicely augment any football you may possibly be currently watching otherwise. I know, even though there is a richness of football at the moment, I can't wait for more, because going to the actual games just trumps it every time.
It's one thing to be able to watch it on television. It's another thing to get there, and especially when it comes to Rovers. It's another thing to be there eye level with the players, where they can flip you off and you can actually see them flip you off, as opposed to in a stadium where you're lucky to get heard.
Yeah. Well, you can literally be heard here. Except, obviously, if we get enough of you along, we're going to drown everybody out, because we want to really make a big noise for the guys on the Rovers this year.
We want to give them a hell of a din to come out to.
Mm-hmm. So, are there any friendlies coming up?
Nathan has been teasing the possibility of a Rovers Nashville FC friendly.
Oh, that is going to be really interesting. I was talking to a guy from Nashville the other day, and he said that he was keen to hear a little bit about this.
And he was saying that would be the official launch event for this coming year's squad and home and away kits.
Oh, very nice.
So we get to meet Lee Chalmers.
And we'd
get to meet the players for this year's squad, and we'd get to see their snazzy new attire.
That's excellent news. Because, I mean, I'm very, very keen to see what we look like this year. I know a brand new coach is always it's always exciting as well as kind of, starting from scratch. But this, I mean, we were lucky enough to talk to him, 2-3 weeks ago. And I mean, this guy knows his football. This guy is a thinking man. This is, like I like to call him, the philosopher king of Louisville football, which is only, it is only right that the master builder of Kentuckiana soccer has the philosopher king of Louisville football working for him.
That's fantastic. He's going to love that nickname, by the way.
Ah, yeah. No, he's got to have it. He's got to have it.
You should get him a shirt with it.
That might happen, yes.
Get Nathan a shirt with that and then, you know, give him the boarding crew logo with that title on the back.
Yeah, I like it. We'll have to look into that. Don't anybody tell Nathan yet, though. It's got to be a surprise.
Yes. Don't say you heard this.
Yes. Yeah, no. Don't tell him. Nathan, I hope you've skipped over the last 2 to 3 minutes if you're listening.
But the other thing that is important with regard to that is it is not set in stone yet.
No. Oh, so it's touch and go.
It's touch and go, and we're waiting for the negotiations to either fall through or to be followed through on so we can actually have it.
Well, the Nashville FC project is fantastic. I'm really excited about what they've been doing. They're playing in the NPSL. I think it's the National Premier Soccer League.
That's second or third division down from NASL, isn't it?
Yes, it's basically NASL's... It is to NASL slightly like USL is to MLS, in that there's a connection. There's kind of, yeah, we're friends. We talk together and we try and work things out. On the soccer pyramid, NPSL is the same level as USL PDL, isn't it?
I believe it was, yes. Like, I guess that kind of gets into a whole different discussion, and we can discuss that somehow in terms of MLS and NASL seeing themselves as equal foot, even though according to certain websites in the U.S. football pyramid...
And FIFA.
And well, nobody cares what FIFA thinks. FIFA hasn't been relevant in 50 years. But considering the NASL as being a second division, you know, it's not. It, as we've discussed previously, their supporters don't consider it to be second division.
No. Well, any good supporters group is not going to consider themselves to be second, third, fourth tier. Supporters are supporters. And it doesn't matter if you're following a USASA team, which is, I think, fifth tier or maybe sixth tier. It doesn't matter if you're following Real Madrid. It doesn't matter what level you're at. It's about how you support. And I remember 10 years ago going to see Real at Easter. Not a Real fan, but it was the only game on in Madrid, and I was there. And it was kind of... it was underwhelming. You're kind of thinking you're in a church of world football. And it wasn't any great deal. It was a game against Malaga.
Was it at the Bernabeu?
Yeah. It was at a major world stadium. But it wasn't a big deal.
It's because it was Malaga. Nobody cares about Malaga except the one or two random supporters they drag with them everywhere.
Well, I think Pellegrini cared about Malaga when he was there.
Well, yes, but outside of those who are paid for it.
Yeah, that's true. But I've been to those games, but I've also been to USL PDL games where the atmosphere, maybe it wasn't 80,000 people, but it felt like you were at a full house of people who passionately care about the football.
And that kind of impresses back to one of the things that why the boarding crew was set up in the first place was this is a chance to... I don't think there are really many supporters groups for any PDL clubs.
I don't think there are many.
It's, I think, less than 5, if at all.
Wow.
And there's, what, 64 clubs in the PDL?
I think even more than that.
So I wanted to do something different. I want to be the standard setter, if there is a way to sort of say that. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to, seeing where all these other supporter groups have come and made their own way, I thought, you know, let's take our own little local club and let's build them up. Let's build something around them.
Excuse me. I just checked on that. There are 71 clubs in USL, PDL.
Blimey.
Yeah, 78 in NPSL. And I mean, there's a lot of conferences. You guys are going to get so familiar with all the conferences in USL PDL in the next few months. Although, obviously, there's only one that counts.
And that's the... Yes, there is one that counts because this is where all the best competition is, apparently, according to the... if you look at the last few winners.
Yeah, and guess where Derby City Rovers are playing this year?
Right in the thick of it.
Yep.
Which is exactly where I'd want him to be.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. And, I mean, if it's the place where if you're going to become a champion team, this is where you need to be. And so, as you know, it's the Great Lakes Division.
Yes, it is the Great Lakes Division.
We changed divisions twice in the past 3 years.
We were in Great Lakes Division, then we moved to South Atlantic, or...
That's right, South
Atlantic. Then we moved back to Great Lakes.
Yeah. But we're going to be talking about that, I suppose, next week. We're going to need to start looking at the rivals in a bit more depth. We're going to have to look at the structure.
Fantastic.
I presume.
Oh, yeah. We'll definitely start getting into who we'll be facing, and we'll getting into a bit more of the history of the victors out of this conference, because this is a big, big conference.
That takes us to a little bit over our first half time.
Oh, we're into stoppage time?
We're into stoppage time now. I shouldn't have brought on that sub. I really didn't need to. I just felt like doing it. We have quite a lot coming up with DCR. But to try and make it to either or both of our Champions League watch parties, the first one is in?
The first one is in the Ville Taqueria.
And the second one is in?
To be determined.
Indiana.
To be determined in Indiana. We named the dog Indiana.
I suppose we'll be back after this short break.
Welcome back to Two-Legged Tie. Welcome to our away leg. Today we're discussing the US Open Cup, because one of the things I had noticed over the weekend was, oh, the FA Cup is on. Whoop-de-doo. Let's talk about our own thing. I've been around Martin way too long, by the way, to have adopted that mentality.
Not long enough. Wait till he starts talking about Bhutanese third-tier youth training.
Is that how we're going to be broaching the topic of Bhutan making the World Cup qualifiers?
Oh, man, Bhutan are in the World Cup. Not preliminary round for the first time in their life. It's great. Let's not talk about Bhutan now. That needs a full home and away leg, as far as I'm concerned. The US Open Cup is kicking off in, what, about a
2 weeks?
2 weeks' time. That's amazingly soon. Unfortunately, the bad news is there is no Derby City Rovers in it this time round, but hopefully next year we'll be in it.
That's one of our goals.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's. I think it's something like the top 16 ranked clubs from
the US.
From USLPDL, who are US-based.
So you could have, you know, Turon Trace... If you want to give them a new name, and who is it? Montreal,
KW United are and
London.
London, I think,
and
as well.
If they finish above Rovers by virtue of the fact, and they get the spots, finishing table,
they are disqualified for their Canadianness
because of their Canadianness. Yes,
Canadian. Yes. Yeah, there's actually three Canadian teams in our group, which I think is the most by a long chalk. I think the most anyone else's is two. But yeah, we can finish fourth, theoretically.
And move over them Inuits.
Yeah. It does involve moving over the Bucks, which is no easily done thing, and the Dayton Dutch Lions. But nevertheless...
That'll be funny either
way. We can theoretically finish third in our conference, and potentially, if we do well enough, qualify.
And possibly play our local neighbors.
The big boys. Who's that again? Local players. It's not the Fire. It's not Javanon. It's not United 96.
It's Mockingbird. It's Mockingbird FC, yes.
Wow. Yeah, Mockingbird FC.
Sounds like Newcastle.
Yeah, maybe. I think we may be missing out another local team.
There's another local team?
There is. I'm pretty sure we've gone to about two games that they've played.
And been critical the whole way.
We've also been given praise where it's due.
This is true.
Louisville City against...
Derby City Rovers.
Is going to be...
That's a very, very delicious tie.
Oh, yeah. Now, in theory, money and all that being brought into matter, you would think, oh, it's the Open Cup. You've got a professional team playing an amateur team, or broadly speaking, amateur team. There can be only one winner. But this is the great thing about the Open Cup.
This is the great thing about knockout competitions in general.
Yeah, especially one-leg knockout competitions. Not this kind of, let's make sure that the big teams get through by having two legs.
I like two-legged ties, obviously. Otherwise, we would not have named this...
We'd be out of an unpaying job.
This is very true. We would be out of an unpaying job. We'd have to hit the We'd have to hit the dole for it. Mm-hmm. But I think two-legged matches with an aggregate and away goals being allowed, it makes for a more interesting... You get a better reflection of where the teams are at that point in terms of competition.
It is a fairer and more just way of deciding a winner.
Whereas one-offs are fluky.
Yeah, which is why I love
them. Which is fun in its own right, don't get me wrong. But it's... Oh, it's such a delicious tie just to think about. And you have the great contrast in philosophies, or I'm not entirely sure what Coach O'Connor's philosophy is with LC yet, but Chalmers in being the philosopher king of Louisville football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That would just be entertaining to see him outthink.
I mean, this is the
thing. We have to get there first, though.
We have to get there first. So that's the key thing. And if it doesn't happen for 2016, that's okay. I want to see that team build. If it takes a little bit longer to get to an Open Cup tie with the local big boys, that's okay.
The noisy neighbours.
Them upstairs.
Yes, them upstairs.
But yeah, I mean, to see a competitive game between Derby City Rovers and Louisville City FC would be an absolute dream. And hopefully Worley Field might need a few extra seats.
I would love it if it were played at Worley. That would be an utterly fascinating and ridiculous experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I know Louisville City, I think, have been drawn already against... who was it they were drawn against? I'll have to go and look at the internet. Pardon me, ladies and gentlemen, while I go root.
Well, considering... it makes me think of... And I'm loath to make this reference because I'd like to avoid all things with English football at the moment. But it makes me think of, say, Arsenal going to the racecourse ground in Wrexham.
1992. It's pre-Premier League. It's legal.
Well, it's not... Well, and I think 1970 as well.
Yes, they did. And the famous one that always comes to my mind is, in terms of the English game, is I think 73 when Hereford United had big, big name Newcastle United. Newcastle United, who had won something in the previous 25 years. That wasn't the second tier.
They won the Fairs Cup.
Yes, I know. 2 years before, 4 years before, something.
Yes.
But the big team going to the small ground that's covered in mud and that the facilities aren't so great. It reminds me of so much Irish football. It's unbelievable.
And that's the romance of stuff like that, is getting those ridiculous draws where you get the big clubs in the basically makeshift grounds with their cordoned off by rope pitch. Mm-hmm. With your five fans on one side and the dog in the corner, as I was referencing last time.
Yeah.
You know, that's the romance of lower division football, is the opportunity for something like that.
Yeah, that's definitely the romance.
And a hell of a payday, too.
It can be. I know, was it Cambridge United that were all about drawing Man United in the cup because it meant that they could finish building the stadium or rebuilding the stadium or whatever.
Yes.
I know... yeah, I know that the US Open Cup isn't always taken very seriously by the MLS teams. Quite often, Chicago Fire won it three times, or maybe four times, but they've done pretty well in it, largely on the basis of the fact that they want to win it, whereas other clubs will use it as a chance to blood players or to get people minutes, I suppose, without having to send them over to Manchester.
Or having to send them up to New York City.
Yeah, exactly. But I know, was it 2 years ago? I think Orlando City, when back in those days, USL side.
USL Pro.
USL Pro was then. God be with the days. Yes. Oh, football has changed, Eric. Football has changed.
Is Sky going to create football over here now?
Sky presenting third and fourth tier American football, soccer coverage.
Starring Chris Kamara. We're in trouble.
Yeah. But from when they were in USL Pro, they were able to get to the Cup semifinals. Since MLS have taken over, have there been many USL Pro sides, many NASL sides, many lower league teams who got far in the Cup? Do you know, Eric?
You've got Richmond, who won it in 95 before the first full MLS season.
Oh, wow.
They won the double.
As in Richmond, Richmond Kickers still playing in USL.
USL.
USL, yeah.
Yes, who won the double that year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a rare fish.
And then you had the Rochester Rhinos, who are easily one of the more cynical and entertaining teams I've ever seen.
I've seen them play before. They know what they're doing. They go out with a view of figuring out how to win the game, or at least getting some good out of it, and they do that. So I have some kind of some respect for them.
And they won Open Cup in 99. I don't remember if they doubled or not, but they did win the Open Cup that year.
So they basically won the Open Cup facing off against an MLS team, I presume?
I believe so. I don't remember the matchup, unfortunately.
I have a strong sense that they were able to get to the final again another season, like a season later or something like that.
That wouldn't surprise me. If I had the means with which to be able to do the research quickly, I would. But we'll assume yes until we're proven otherwise.
Hang on. I have the means with which to do the research. So in 1999, they won it against Colorado Rapids. They didn't win it the following year, but they had been the runners-up to DC United in 1996.
And did they double in 99 when they won, or was that just the cup?
I don't know.
Because it would be bold, I believe, if you're using Wikipedia as a reference.
It's a risk always checking Wikipedia for details. But let's see how they did that year.
While he's doing research, let's discuss a little bit about the history of the Open Cup. It was started in 1914 as the National Challenge Cup, which was a predominantly amateur competition, as anything that would be called a Challenge Cup would be. The winner of the National Challenge Cup was previously awarded the Sir Thomas Dewar Cup, which is a beautiful, beautiful trophy, by the way, if you get a chance to take a look at it online. And apparently, every year, the U.S. Open Cup winner gets their name etched onto a plate which is attached to the trophy, similarly to the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
That's fantastic.
How far back do they go, do you know?
I couldn't find a...
An up-to-date picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sir Thomas Dewar Cup was awarded until 1979, when it was retired due to... basically its condition, and it was replaced with the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup, which is the, I don't really know what I want to call that trophy. I don't know if it's a garish monstrosity or if it's subtle and wonderful that I just can't appreciate.
I think we could appreciate it if either side brought it back to town.
That's 15-year plan for Lee Chalmers is win the Open Cup.
Yeah.
Come on, Philosopher King, show us your stuff.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to be serious about managing the team, we really need to be looking at FIFA World Club Championships.
That would be wonderful.
Because that's one of the prizes for winning it. If you win the Open Cup...
Well, you have to get to the CONCACAF Champions League first.
Well, how hard is it to win the CONCACAF Champions League?
I mean, think of the away...
play all your games at home.
Think of the away trips.
Oh, wow.
That would be wonderful just for that.
Oh, God, yeah. That would be fantastic. Go down to play, say, Marathon in Honduras. That'd be an amazing trip. Right, I've done a little bit of research while we've been talking, because in Ireland we say research, not research. No, we don't. We actually say research in Ireland. It's in England. But don't tell Eric. He does not know this. It's our little secret.
What's in England again?
Nothing at all. England.
Airstrip 1?
Airstrip 1 is where I'm thinking of. So,
gotcha.
Rochester Rhinos got to the final in 96, which was the year they were founded.
That's impressive.
Isn't it, though?
And have,
according to at least one source, but there's others.
Have they maintained that same level of cynicism since then? They've
pretty much been every final since then. No, when they won it in 99, they did do a double. They won the USISIL or whatever it was called.
USISIL,
I think it was, the A division of that.
Nice.
But they haven't won it as much since. Looking at the years since... So you had, obviously, all non-MLS teams prior to 1996, owing to there not being MLS teams prior to 1996. Since then, we've had one non-MLS winner, and in terms of runners, and that was Rochester Rhinos. In terms of runners-up, 96 was the Rhinos, 2000 was the Miami Fusion.
Really?
Yeah, the Fusion got there, and a rival of one of our local teams, I can't remember which one, the Charleston Battery. We were a very solid team. They got to the final in 2008, so they also lost to DC United.
That's the curmudgeon upstairs.
Yes, them upstairs. But yeah, I mean, in theory, you would expect that a full-scale professional top-tier league should always get to both sides of the final.
But that leads to a very interesting thing, though, which is that there are four very distinct eras of that competition. Going back to the beginning with the ASL era with, you know, Bethlehem Steel.
Ah, good old Steel. The ultimate hipster team. They were Borussia Dortmund before Dortmund were known outside of Germany.
I'm not surprised by that. Owned by Charles Schwab, who owned this, who owned the company, and is now the famous banking institution. Or in some cases, the institution now owned by the federal government of the U.S.
That's crazy.
The Fall River Marksmen of Rhode Island, who were another dominant ASL club.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be noted, too, that a lot of these early professional clubs were based off of industry companies, you know, similar to Peñarol of Uruguay being the central Uruguay Railway Cricket Club.
Mm-hmm.
And Manchester United being the Newton Heath, Lancashire and Yorkshire Railroad.
Yeah.
You know, that,
they're basically saying rail ties them all together.
Well, possibly, yes.
Railway Union in Ireland have never won the FAI Cup.
I was thinking more along the lines
of... Your point is invalid.
Well, I was thinking more along the lines of the fact that it was a company-sponsored club.
Yeah.
As opposed to the railway, which is just, you know, that's messy.
Well, yeah.
And
yeah.
Then you've got Styx, Bear, and Fuller from St. Louis, who were in one of their various iterations, a confederation of breweries in St. Louis.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, and in one of the various versions of their history, I don't remember what exactly Styx, Bear, and Fuller were in terms of their history. And I'm sure that our friends at the St. Luligans would be happy to inform us.
I would hope they would. Please, please, by the way, if you are listening and you want to comment on this, especially you Luligan boys, get on to us. We'll give you the details at the end.
We will be glad to air your comments and to hopefully try to, when we see it, get you some sort of voice time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it goes back to that you know, that was professional back in that era. Then you had the ASL, NASL era from 68 to 84, which was predominantly ASL.
Which is intriguing when, obviously, everybody worldwide knows Pelé and the boys in NASL. Did they enter the competition then, or...?
I couldn't find any details on that looking it up, but I was a bit surprised insofar as clubs that were supposed to be as dominant as, say, you know, the New York Cosmos, why they hadn't won that trophy. You would think that, you know, amongst their other collection of trophies, of which they won at least a smattering, that they would have wanted that one along the way.
Yeah. Looking at the teams of the time, I mean, you don't see any of the big names. It could be a case like, say, the Indian Super League, the Hero Super League of India, where the NASL teams were basically summer teams, I think. Because I know a lot of players, certainly in the 70s, they would play for their club in England or Scotland or wherever, generally England and Scotland, sometimes Ireland. And then, you know, Johnny Giles plays for Leeds during the season. At the once the summer starts, he takes a couple of days and he plays for Vancouver Whitecaps.
He goes and he scythes people in the US.
Exactly. It's basically an all-year harvest for Johnny Giles. So I think it may be a case that they were basically considered outside of football in a way, maybe?
Like a recreational, a keeping fit recreational league?
I think there were some English professionals certainly thought that.
I'm sure George Best thought it too.
All football post 1968 was really recreational for Georgie.
Well, so, and his liver too.
That liver never had anything that could be described as recreational.
But that also kind of leads into a very interesting thing, which was when the ASL folded in the early 80s, you had a regional, basically regional domination similar to 1920s Italy and Germany up to the early 60s, and then you had the MLS era, which is 96 to present.
Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing looking at the the teams throughout the history of the US Open Cup. You see a lot of teams like the Brooklyn Italians, Pedro Yugoslavs.
A lot of ethnic teams, which is fantastic.
And you see the same in Australia as well, I find, prior to the A-League starting up about 12 years ago. You know, it's like Melbourne, Hellenic, or Sydney, Croatia, or somebody like that are the teams winning. But you look in the mid-80s, even the mid-80s, where you think maybe we've gotten past that. You've, in order, from 1979, Brooklyn Dodgers beat... Brooklyn Dodgers, seriously. Beat Chicago Croatian. The following year, you've got New York Pan-Cyprian Freedoms. not to be political about it or anything.
Not at all.
Play Maccabi Los Angeles, who win the following year. You see New York Crete play San Pedro Yugoslavs. Greek American win it a couple of years later. You got all these very, very...
rich names, if nothing else.
And very ethnic names.
And that's kind of the really neat thing about regional football, is the fact that you get those very, 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 not so much nationalistic, but so much the easily identifiable.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's one other very important thing to note, which is 14 times you've had double winners who've won their league as well as the Open Cup or the Challenge Cup.
That's incredible, really, when you think about it. It's been, what, 100, according to the Wikipedia, this is the 102nd season of it.
Yeah.
And you consider how many years we've had, of how many of those 102 years have we actually had an actual top tier?
Yeah, it's been just about two-thirds.
Wow.
If even that, you know.
So 14 out of, we'll say, about 60 is basically 60, a quarter 65. Of all winners have been... a quarter of all potential winners have been able to win a double.
No, it's closer to 80. My apologies. I was thinking that...
Let it all that out.
Well, yes, exactly. The thing I was thinking of was that the one big difference was from the ASL era to the modern era, there were no double winners. Your previous winner prior to Richmond in 95 was in 1933.
Good God. That's amazing.
Makes you think about how bad it was in England with the doubles before Spurs won it in 61. Because I believe the last one at that point was Aston Villa. Yeah.
Something like that. Something in the 1880s or 1890s.
Yeah. And that's a long drought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's pedigree there for, say, if Rovers win PDL, they can win this too.
Mm-hmm.
And it wouldn't be a shock. Well, it might be a shock to say to Detroit.
I think Seattle
Michigan
will be pretty shocked if we were to win both.
Toronto Trace.
Yeah, it would be stunning.
That would be a hell of a party.
No pressure, gentlemen. No pressure. Just a double within the next 6 years,
that's and give us 10%
and 10% of the double as well.
Yes,
I think that's like two medals.
I'd be okay
with two medals.
That's two.
Three,
that's
maybe.
Two medals and maybe Robbie Tarver.
He's worth more than 10%.
I'm just saying that they give us two medals and Robbie Tarver, and we'll be happy.
I will be very happy with two U.S. Open Cup medals and Robbie Tarver.
I believe that'll do it for us.
I think so. So send your U.S. Open Cup medals too.
And your PDL medals too, to louisville.boarding.crew@gmail.com.
And you can also annoy me if you really need, and I won't reject it, at BluebeardRex.
And you can find the boarding crew at Lou Boarding Crew. And we are on the Facebook at Lou Boarding Crew because I went and changed it 2 weeks ago.
Hey, that made sense.
So that we could have some sort of, you know, uniformity, whatever that's about.
It means that the shorts match the shirts.
Yes.
Which we'll be finding out about in a couple of weeks' time.
We're so excited.
Well, I've been Martin French.
And I'm still Eric Major, as far as I know.
Thank you very much for tuning in. We hope to talk to you next week.
See you next week.
See you soon.
We found our form.
I think this is game 7, is it?
Yes, we're finding our form.
God help Barcelona.
God help Barcelona and...